The Lord is my shepherd. Those are some very comforting words. It's by those words that we know our shepherd leads us. It's by those words that we can trust our Savior will protect us. But as comforting as those words may be to us, the implications of those words can sometimes be a little bit hard for us to swallow. To admit that the Lord is my shepherd is to admit that I'm a sheep. I am dumb. I am dirty. I am defenseless. I'm highly dependent. I'm easily distracted. To admit that I'm a sheep is to admit that I don't always know what's best. Sometimes I'll get it wrong. I can't do it on my own. Now, this is something that our society says is a sign of weakness. To admit that the Lord is my shepherd is to admit my submissive will to following after His lead. And that's not always the easiest thing for us to do. Last week, as we studied together, we looked at Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This morning, we want to look closely at verses 2 and 3. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Those are some very comforting words, but very difficult to swallow when we admit that He truly is our shepherd. You see, we tend for greener pastures or things that look at least green to us. We try to drink from waters of our own choosing. We try to walk down paths of our own liking. We try to fight off beasts with our own weapons, with our own strength. We feast on the buffets of our liking. We fill our cups with drinks of our choosing rather than filling His blessings. Just like sheep, we often wander. We often stray. We think that we know what's best. But it's God, our good shepherd. It's God who understands exactly what we need. He knows just what I need. Sometimes I don't recognize it. I like to go along on my own path. I like to think that I know what's best for my life. So I need His patience in my life. I need Him to be patient with me. We all need Him to be patient with us. I'm a sheep and you're a sheep. We can't express that enough. We are sheep. We can be easily distracted. We can venture out on our own. We can wander away. And while some people around us would just turn their back to us, they'd look the other direction, they'd have nothing to do with us and never say a thing. God is not that way. And that's why we need Him to be patient with us. We want to focus in on verses 2 and 3 of the 23rd Psalm this morning. And as we do, I want us to recognize together four very important facts about why we need God's patience in our lives. And the first thing that I want us to recognize is that I need His patience when I know what's best, or at least when I think I know what's best. There are many times throughout the life of David, especially if you look at his career as a king, that David thought that he knew what was best for him. He even thought he knew what was best for God. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, but he did it on an ox cart, and that was wrong. David thought it best that God should have a permanent dwelling place and not live in a tent while David himself was living in a palace. But God never told him to do that. David thought it would be best if he went out and he numbered the people, but God told him not to do that. God didn't want any of those things, at least not the way that David wanted to do them. David did those things because he thought he knew what was best. Now, I can relate to David, I believe, on many levels, and we all can. But one of the ways that I can especially relate to David is in this condition. Sometimes I can have this confidence about myself.
where it blinds me. I think I know what's best. What's best for me, what's best for my family, what's best for my friends, sometimes maybe even what's best for you. And I'm blinded by this confidence. So I constantly need to be reminded that God knows what's best. I need to humbly admit that I don't know what's best. In a great amount of humility, this little sheet of Psalm 23 acknowledges that God knows what's best for his life. God knows what's best for all of our lives. He first of all says, he makes me lie down. You ever had to make a child lie down? The child's acting cranky. They haven't had the sleep they need. They're tired. They need their rest. But they don't want to go to bed. If you still have small children at home, then maybe you deal with this every night. And maybe not so small children. But they need their rest. They'll say, I'm not sleepy. And they're rubbing their eyes. Their eyes are rolling off in the back of their heads. But they can't go to sleep. At least that's what they're saying. And so you have to make them lie down. You know they need the rest. Our shepherd needs to make us lie down too. We need him to patiently place his hand on our backs and make us lie down. Sometimes we get so over anxious with life. We just want to go and go and go and go. And we need our shepherd to make us lie down. We get busy. Maybe we get overcommitted. We get caught up in the rat race of life. We get overly concerned about our jobs or about the economy or about politics or about the weather. And when we do, we need the patient shepherd to make us slow down and get our perspective right. We need to remind ourselves we're not superhuman. We're not invincible. The same psalmist wrote in Psalm 39, verse 4, David was writing to God, telling God to remind him how frail he can be. He said, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am? David realized he's not invincible. We're not either. But there are times where we need God to remind us. We need God to make us lie down. David also says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He didn't just realize that God knew what was best for him, but he also recognized that God knows what is the best for him, to make him to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes, like a sheep, we don't see the green grass beneath us the way the shepherd is able to see it. When God sees the grass that he's provided for us to lie down upon, he sees it as the best grass, the soft grass, the tender grass, the grass that's good for our nourishment. We don't always see it that way. Our eyes are sometimes focused on some other hill because we think the grass is greener on some other hill. And so we need his patience when we think the grass is greener. Sometimes we don't see that, spiritually speaking. Everything around us looks brown. We want to venture off and find something else, something that at least in our minds is even better. What we don't realize is that if we're faithful to the Good Shepherd, then we will know that the grass where we are laying is the best grass that God can give. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, Jesus reassures us. He says, your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. God gives us the best. Far too often, we think we know what's best. Far too often, we go looking for greener pastures. But if we'll be patient, if we'll be faithful and understanding the things that God has instructed us through his word, if we'll pray and if we'll meditate on the word of God, if we remain open, if we remain teachable, then we'll realize that God has us exactly where we need to be at this very moment. I need his patience when I think I know what's best. Because God always knows what's best, not me. Let's take a look at our second point. I need his patience when I panic. If you've ever watched any Western movies or Western television shows, then you've probably seen the cowboys riding tall and strong on their horses as they're driving the cattle. That's how Westerners move cattle. That's not the way shepherds in Palestine moved their flocks. They didn't drive them. They led them. And David is recognizing here at the end of verse 2 that the shepherd leads us. He doesn't drive us. He leads us beside still waters. He doesn't drive us. There are times when we need him, and perhaps sometimes God will drive us with motivation. Maybe through our experiences of life, he can drive us. But our Savior is leading us. Sometimes I panic. I panic about what life has for me. I become frantic about my future, about the well-being of my family. But as we look at the end of verse 2, there are two very important points that David reminds us of concerning the leadership of the Good Shepherd. First of all, he is always in front of me. God is in front of every single one of us. You ever worry about the future? Well, God's already been there. Are you worried about the test results? God's already seen them. You worried about your retirement? God's already been there. You worried about some relationship? God already knows how it will end or how it will continue. God is out ahead of us, trying to find the path that is just right for us. And if he's not finding the path, he is clearing the path for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, a favorite verse of many. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God is always leading. He's always in front of us. God's not only leading us, he's also stilling the waters around us. Sheep tend to panic when they come around running water. Even though they're not the smartest of animals, they at least know sometimes where they're vulnerable. They realize they're not sure-footed, and they swim like rocks. And so this is what a shepherd would do. He'd go out in front of the sheep, and he'd come to a stream of running water. And he'd pick up some rocks, and he would create this little channel to divert some of that water from the stream and create a pool for the sheep to be able to drink from. God is still in the business of stilling waters. He did so with the Red Sea. He parted the waters of the Red Sea and allowed the children of Israel to cross on dry land. In Mark chapter 4, the disciples found themselves in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. And a great storm was around them. Waves were crashing into the boat. They were scared. They turned to Jesus. They said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And Jesus stood up. He rebuked the winds, he rebuked the waves, and he calmed the storm. God is still in the business of calming waters. What's a raging water in your life? What's a torrential storm that invades your security? Is it a phone call? Is it a conversation? Is it a business meeting? Is it a potential company layoff? Is it a doctor's appointment? Whatever it may be, we need to realize we may get a little wet. We may get a little water behind our ears. We may get a little wet, but the Lord, our shepherd, will not let us drown. I need his patience when I panic. Going back to the psalm, we learn a third thing. I need his patience when I wander. Take a look at verse 3. The psalmist says, "He restores my soul." Sheep have a tendency to stray. Yes, They're highly dependent on their caretaker, but they're also easily distracted. And Jesus seems to zero in on this point in Luke 15 in three parables. And in one of those parables, the one we know as the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus described a shepherd who had lost one of his sheep, one out of 100. He leaves the 99, he goes searching for that one particular sheep. And when he finds that sheep, he hoists it on his shoulder and he walks back home. And as soon as he gets home, he calls all of his friends and he calls all of his family. He calls them to come together to rejoice because he had found that one sheep that had gone missing. David was also recognizing he had a tendency to stray. And he did so many times in pasture land, in caves, in temples, in palaces. He knew he needed to trust that the Lord could restore him again to his fold. Because we have a tendency, just like David, just like a sheep, we have a tendency to stray. We have to trust that whenever we do stray, the Lord will not only search to find us, but He'll also restore us to His fold if we are willing. Look with me at Psalm 51. David had committed some great sins. He committed adultery. He'd become a liar, a murderer. And for a certain period of time, he didn't do anything about it. He would say in one of his psalms that he was withering away. His bones were turning as if they were to dust. The heavy weight of guilt was upon him. Eventually, Nathan came to him. He confronted him about his sins. He said, "You are the man." And it's out of this regret that David writes Psalm 51. A beautiful passage about restoration to God and how God can restore us unto Him. I want us to notice in particular verses 10 through 12. David says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." When sheep wander, they're in great danger. They don't always realize that. They don't always sense that. They're not the smartest of animals. They don't realize just how quickly they can become lamb chops in the jaws of some predator or become mutton stew at the bottom of some cliff. To be honest, I'll admit that I don't always sense when I wander, when I stray. Like a 5-year-old child at the grocery store. Sometimes my eyes get distracted or attracted to all the candy at the counter. And that's all I see. That's all I want. That's what I gravitate toward, not realizing that I've left my Father's side. When we get distracted, when we wander away, we don't readily recognize just how vulnerable we are, and just what a dangerous situation we've placed ourselves in. We don't realize we've left the shepherd miles and miles away. We need him to be patient with us when we stray. He restores my soul. In Luke chapter 15, as we mentioned earlier, Jesus tells us the shepherd would leave the 99 and go looking for that one lost sheep. He will search the deepest and the darkest valleys to find us. Yes, we have a tendency to think what's best for our lives, to think that we know what's best for our lives. We think the grass is greener on some other hill. We have a tendency to panic around running waters. We have a tendency to wander, to stray, and to venture off on our own. And when we do, we become incredibly vulnerable and defenseless. And that's why we need God's patience over us. ready to search us out, ready to find us, ready to restore us back into His heart with compassion and with His love. So the end result will be that which Peter described in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 25. For you are like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul. One last point I want us to recognize from these two verses. That is, I need His patience when I'm stubborn. I need His patience when I'm stubborn. David said, He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What David said here, it's interesting to me. As I was preparing for this lesson, I ran across how one author described this portion of the 23rd Psalm. He said that when a sheep has a tendency to stray, that maybe on more than one night, the sheep has wandered off and the shepherd had to leave the fold and go search out that one sheep and bring them back. If the shepherd recognizes that this sheep is developing a bad habit of wandering away, the next night when the sheep wanders away, the shepherd would go and find that sheep once again. But then he would take his staff and he would break that sheep's leg. Now, how cruel is that? Why would a caring shepherd be so vicious and so cruel to one of his sheep? Let's understand the heart of the shepherd. He doesn't do this to hurt the sheep. He does this to protect the sheep. So this is what he'd do. After breaking the sheep's leg, he would bind it in a splint. And over the next few days, the shepherd would lead the flock while holding that sheep in his arms. And then as that leg would begin to heal, he sets the sheep down to his side. In a crippled state, every knoll looks like a mountain. Every rock looks like a boulder. Every animal looks like a lion. It's to teach that little lamb a lesson. Stay with the shepherd. That's what God is trying to teach us in His forms of discipline and correction. Stay close to the shepherd. He knows just what you need. He knows every one of us. He knows all of our quirks. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. And there may well come a time when God looks at us and says, I need to break His legs. Or I need to break her legs. And He does that, a very tenderly breaking our hearts. Do you believe that? It's really a very difficult subject matter. You don't go very far with it at all, and you'll never recognize the ability of God to work through providence to correct things in our lives. You take it too far, and you'd come to believe that every sickness, every problem is God punishing you for some sin that you've committed. Now, I'm not sure how God does it. I'm not sure even exactly why. But in faith, I believe that He does. I believe with all of my heart that God can answer prayer, that God will answer prayer. I believe with all my heart that God's Word can lead me and guide me. And I can put my faith in those things. If I can put my faith in those things, I can certainly put my faith that the Good Shepherd knows exactly what I need, even if it's a corrective measure. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. Listen to the words of the Hebrews writer, affirming to us that God does, in fact, discipline those who He loves. He says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the fathers to the Father of the spirits and live. We may not know why. We may not know how. But if I'm being corrected by God, I know it's because He loves me, that I'm His sheep, and I'm His son. He continues in verse 10 to say, "For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best for them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness." You know what the Hebrews writer is saying there when he says that we may be partakers of His holiness? That we may stay by the shepherd's side. That we'll not leave the presence of the shepherd. In verse 11 he says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." I need God's patience when I'm stubborn. Yes, I need God to be patient with me in all His great power and His might. Also knowing that God is a consuming fire, that He is a jealous God, I certainly need the Almighty to be present. Be patient with this little sheep. When in times I think I know what's best, when I think the grass is greener on some other hill, when I panic about all that life is throwing at me, when I wander, when I stray, and especially when I'm stubborn, I need Him to be patient. The Lord is patiently looking down upon the souls of everyone here this morning. He knows your ways. He knows your thoughts. And He's patiently caring for you. Or maybe He's patiently looking for you. If you're not a Christian, if you're not one of His sheep, why not come this morning? Repenting of your sins, confessing you believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and be baptized, be immersed in water, to have your sins completely washed away, be added to His fold. Or if you are a Christian, perhaps you're a wandering sheep. You've become stubborn and you've decided, I want it my way right away. God is patiently waiting. He's ready to find you. He's ready to restore you to Himself. Come this morning. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. The Lord will forgive you. Take again a look at verse 3. Listen to the words of the psalmist and how he says them. He leads me in paths of righteousness. You notice what he says. He doesn't say He leads me in paths of righteousness for my sake. No, he says He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not just so that I can learn to stay by the shepherd's side, but so that everyone can see what happens when the Lord is patient with me. For His name's sake this morning, the invitation is open for you. If you're here in subject, won't you come? Together we stand and sing.